Welcome back to Practical Math, and again, this is Chalk Talk, and this is the one for Lesson 2. Now, you've already figured out what's going on in Lesson 2, because you've been in the other lecture, and what we're going to be looking at is spreadsheets. Now, I've been told by a number of people, actually quite a number of people, that they think I'm crazy for putting in a section in a course on mathematics where I'm using spreadsheets. I mean, it's like you're supposed to learn how to do this by hand. You're supposed to be learning how to do this without the machinery. And I guess at one level that's right, and I can't really argue that point. But at another level, actually, it's wholly appropriate. When you're exposed to spreadsheets, it does make sense because it helps you learn a particular mode of analytical thinking, thinking mathematically, looking at the issues, understanding them, seeing what they mean, okay? It's not something that you necessarily learn quickly elsewhere, and it's something that's fundamental in math. Furthermore, the skills that you're getting in the spread, when you're trying to get a spreadsheet to do what you want it to do, are actually ones that help you define the problem clearly, define the steps to solving it, and then ultimately to take those steps and solve the problem. The spreadsheet doesn't have any intuition. You have to explicitly tell it what to do at every step of the way. So you have to explicitly figure out what you've got to do, explicitly figure out how you're going to do it, and then create the spreadsheet to solve the problem. Now there's another sneaky side to this. In working with spreadsheets, you'll become familiar with the concept of functions, the concept of formulas, and a few other things like the arguments or parameters. And this is stuff that is significant in mathematics at really every level above simple arithmetic. So I'm actually sneaky-wise getting you familiar with some math concepts that we will probably use later in the course, and that certainly, if you're going into higher level mathematics, anywhere along the line, you might find useful. So, let's start by jumping into the spreadsheets, and let's start by jumping into the one that I use the most, which is Excel. Here we are, this is Excel. Now, this is the spreadsheet we were working on, and you can see it's essentially laid out identically to what you had when we were in the lesson. So you have the amount of the check, way over here the check numbers and the dates, all of that useful stuff. These are just physical entries. Not much to learn there. Now let's get over here and talk about the balance. What's left? And here's where we start getting interesting. We've got this word if here, and then a bunch of gobbledygook. Now you'll notice when I clicked up there, it suddenly was talking about coloring the cells, okay? So you've got E4 here, they're both blue, F4, golly, they're both red, and then G3, and you've got the F4 and the E4, okay? Now, what's this? Let's start by going into the middle. What is this AND thing? Well, the way this works, it looks into cell E4, which is this one, and sees if it's blank. If it is, that's a true statement. Looks at F4, asks if it's blank, another true statement. So this thing, AND, says if both of these are true, this is true and this is true. Ha, get it? AND, very simple. Then this whole thing is true. Now this is the argument in the if statement. The first argument in if is a statement that's either true or false. If the statement is true, which it is here, which is not here actually, we actually have money there, then nothing happens. If it's not true, if one of these two has got some number in it, then you add the previous balance to whatever deposit there may be, and then subtract off the amount of the check. Now, I want you to notice something very carefully. First of all, and is a function. These little E4 equals, F4 equals, those are arguments of the function. Okay? So we've got a function, and we've got the arguments. If you don't want to sound like you're being disagreeable, you could call these two things parameters of the function. Whatever turns your day happy works for me. But first argument in the if statement is something that's either true or false. The next thing that happens, the next argument, is what you want the statement to do. Should this whole thing be true? If it's not true, case here, then add these two and subtract that one and put it in the cell. Okay? Straightforward? No. But close enough. You will notice, and I want you to be very careful to notice, the arguments in the and statement are separated by commas. The arguments in the if statement are separated by commas. Remember that. It's going to be useful to know here in a bit. Okay? So, let's go over here and look at another formula. This is the deposit column. And you'll notice this is a much simpler formula than what you might have seen somewhere else. It just looks to see if there's anything written in the deposit file. If that cell has got a deposit in it, it's not equal to zero. So, if that cell is not equal to zero, that's a less than sign, this is a greater than sign, this little diamond shaped thing means not equal to zero, then put whatever value's in here. And if it isn't, if it is equal to zero, then don't do anything. Okay? Click down here. This isn't zero, so we do have that in there. Now if I put, let's see, let's just put some number in here. And I put that in there. Kapow. That ends up there. And by the way, our balance changes as well. Let's just get that out of there. We don't really want to have that in there. So let's just remove it. But again, very simple statement. If, then do this. And if not, do that. Straightforward and simple. Again, notice the commas. The arguments or parameters are separated from each other by a comma. That tells the computer that in this cell of the spreadsheet, we're done with this chunk. Go check the next chunk that you have to. Now, let's go to something a little bit more interesting in terms of what is going on. Oh my goodness gracious, look at all of this. It looks to see if E4, which is way over here, that's an expenditure you made, is zero. If it is, we're not doing anything about it. If it is not equal to zero, however, and again, here's the not equals, that's the shift key and period, followed by shift key and comma. Then you work the formula. Comma, comma, these are blanks. So if it's not equal to zero, check to see if this entry here matches this entry. So far, so good. If these two do match, then put whatever is in E4 in place here. So now you've got that recorded for utilities. If not, then don't do anything. And of course, if E4 is equal to zero, whatever the check or expenditure is, blank goes in there as well. So what we've got here is the if function, and embedded into the if function is the if function again. And here you've got your first argument, the logic test. Second argument, what to do if it's true. Your third argument, what to do if it's not true. And then this bigger if statement, your true-false question, what to do if it's true and what to do if it's false. Separated by commas all the way through. Now, let's just make the assumption that you want to add up everything that you spent for utilities. Let's clear that out and just do that. So here's the formula we're going to use. Equals. You want to sum it up, right? So you put in SUM sum. That's the name of the function, the sum function. You look if it tells you all those other ones. Don't worry about that. Let's just do a simple sum. Now you want to add up everything in this whole column here. Okay. Let me just put the closing parenthesis in so that it knows it's done listening to me. And there you've got your colon. I want you to be aware of that. That colon is significant. That just says do everything from M3 to M17, from here to here. And I'll hit the little enter button. Ta-da! There's the sum of it. And you can see that it's correct. So, again, here's the function. Here are the arguments listed from here to here with that little colon in there. It's one of those useful little things to know. So there you are. We're done with this. Let's go to OpenOffice and see what we can learn there. Okay, here we are in OpenOffice. And again, this is a demo for Unit 2. Notice OpenOffice up here. And if you look carefully, you can see that this doesn't look quite the same as it does over in Excel. Very similar, just not identical. That's where it gets a little treacherous. So let's start out by looking at the really simple how much is left in here. Okay, the balance. Well, here we are. Here's our friendly AND function. Here's the argument. If this is true, and you'll notice you've got the colored box. It doesn't do the whole thing, but you've got the colored box. If this and this are both blank, then do nothing. And if one or the other one isn't blank, add the deposits in and subtract off the payment. Looks just like Excel, doesn't it? Not exactly. And here's where the treachery comes in, which is not intentional, it's just the way they did it. Right here, that's not a comma, that's a semicolon. 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 OpenOffice uses the semicolon for the separator for your arguments. Now, that's going to trip you up if you don't know it. forgot to tell you people that in the course originally, but you're getting it now. This semicolon separates off the arguments. Okay? Otherwise, the statement is essentially identical. In fact, it is identical other than those crazy semicolons. So let's move over here. Let's look at the deposit thingy. Hot deal here. This is a little more complicated, but it says what it needs to say. Again, first argument. Then the second argument is a function where you have your first argument, second argument, third argument, and then the final argument for the outer function, okay? So if all of this is true, it goes in deposit. If not, then it doesn't. Let's move over to this one. Here we are all over again. Just exactly the same thing as we had in the Excel file with this one exception. Here we are, semicolon, 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 semicolon. That's separating out all of the arguments. So this looks to see if E4, which is the amount spent, is zero. If it is, and here's you got your less than and greater than sign. You know, if it's not empty, if it's not a zero, then look to see if this matches this, which in this case it does, and under those circumstances, if it matches that, and if E4 isn't zero, then put the value of E4 in here. Otherwise, leave it blank, and if E4 is zero, leave it blank as well. Okay? So that's what we're working with. The difference is the semicolon separator. Now let's come down here. Let's come down here, and let's say we want to add up the amount for the food equals sum. Now, let's highlight this whole column here and tell it that's all we want to add up. You'll notice what's in here. We have a colon in here. So that is the same between Excel and OpenOffice. At the level we're working with here, which is a fairly simple level, the level we're working with here, those commas being made into semicolons is really the only big difference that you're going to need to worry about. Now, there's all kinds of other things up here. You can play with those if you want. I've played with them extensively. You can edit things. You can go to the PDF. Lots of different things. But those are the two things you need to know. Otherwise, the sheets work exactly the same as long as you remember the important point. Semicolons, not commas. Now, I'm going to show you one more spreadsheet, and then we'll get on to maybe a little fun here, okay? Welcome to Libre. Now, it says this is the OpenOffice demo, but this is actually Libre, L-I-B-R-E. It's another free system that functions very much like OpenOffice and very much like Excel. And I just want to highlight a few differences. We won't be in here long. But you'll notice here, for instance, you've got all these pretty pictures. They're called icons. These are menus for commands, just like in Excel and OpenOffice. Play with these things to your heart's content. That's fine. But I want you to notice a couple of points here. Let's get over to a simple formula. This one. You've seen this before. Doesn't this look familiar? Yeah, it does. And that's a comma there. That's a comma there. That's a comma there. So Libre, like Excel, will actually use commas to separate out the parameters, also known as arguments, of a function. OpenOffice, in this context, is the so-called odd man out of the ones we're looking at. Let's get over here and look at this one. Same thing. Okay, you'll notice commas all over the place. So, that tells you something useful. Okay, the whole problem with the commas in Excel and the semicolons in OpenOffice isn't a problem here. Now, let's say you want to do the adding up here. Okay, let's take a quick look. Gosh, this function is the same again, isn't it? And you can come along and you can just highlight them all the way down, and then you close the parentheses. That tells the computer that we're done, telling it what we want to add up, and there you are. Notice in that line, that is a colon. So all three are going to use colons in this concept. Now, let me just do something crazy here. I just want to make a point that I neglected to make in both of the earlier ones, and that is I just added up a column. You can add up two of them if you want, or you can add up a whole row if that's what you want. Whatever you highlight, it's going to add up. And that is true of other functions as well. What you highlight in a function that can take multiple entries, you can have like 3 dozen arguments if you want it. If you highlight a whole area, it will add, subtract, multiply, divide, whatever, what you tell it to do. So there is Libre. There are other ones out there. I personally do not work in an Apple or a Macintosh environment, but I have spent some time with those, and Excel works exactly the same there as it does in what I'm using, which is a PC. So that will be true of the other ones as well. The way it looks on my system, if it's the same program, that's the way it's going to look and act on a Mac platform as well, which is useful to know, because I know a lot of you folks out there are using Macs rather than Windows, which is fine. So there we have it. So let's go back to Excel and let's just have us a little bit of fun. Welcome back. I've shifted into Excel again, and we're just going to try and do something a little illustrative and maybe have a little fun. So, take any arbitrary two-digit number where the digits aren't the same, so like 74, and then reverse their order, and then subtract the smaller from the larger. So we'll do this. This minus this, and that'll give you some result, in this case 27. Now reverse the order of those two digits, and then add the two together, and you get 99. Now I assert that that'll always happen, as long as the digits aren't the same. Then you just get zero. I assert that it will always be 99. So you want to test that out and see if I'm kidding you. Let's see if we can get Excel to do that for us. Step number one is to try and isolate the two digits. Let's see here. Let's try to isolate that first digit. Now if we divide this by 10, we get 7.4. We want just the integer part of that. Well, as it turns out, there is something called the integer function. Let's see what that does. Here's your function integer, and this is the argument or parameter for your function, and that's what's going to give us back just the number 7. Now all we have to do is get that last half there, that 4. Well, it turns out there's something called the mod function. It takes 2 arguments. What this does is divides whatever's in B2, in this case 74, by 10 and tells you what the remainder is. Well. We've got our 7 and our 4, so all we have to do is add them together properly, since we want 4 to be first, 10 times the 4, and then add in the 7. See how that works. Hey. Now this part doesn't work, but that's okay, it works. Now let's be clever here. We have a formula now that gives us what we want. Now that was the C thing, so we take a copy of that. I hit the escape button to get out of here without doing any damage, and I'll put it in there for C2. Let's make sure I didn't carry the equal sign. I sure didn't. We still get 38. That's cool. Let's take this one now. And slide it into the formula for D2. And it still works. So we can get rid of these two now. Now you understand what we did. I did the figuring here to get just the lead number, and I did the figuring here just to get the tail number, and then put them back together again. And then, since it still worked, I just took the formulas I created in those two, put them in here, and now I can take this, copy it, and put it in here, and now it'll do all the work for me. So we can just check all of these numbers and see if they work. And, you know, wait a minute. Goofed that one up, didn't I? Ooh, ouch. Wait a minute. Problem. I need to subtract the smaller from the larger. All right, let's fix that. There is an interesting function here called max. And you can put however many arguments in there you like. We're going to put these two both in. And that takes the biggest of whatever that list is. Now the list can be as long as you want. I only needed 2. And the same list again. Okay. Ta-da! Now we get it back. So, problem-solving trick. Okay, take it step at a time and do it. Now let's take a tougher one. A little bit tougher. Let's do it, a simple one. Reverse the order. Reverse the order. Add them together. And the answer is 1089, by the way. And it'll happen like that every time. Now, let's do the same thing here that we did with just a two-digit number and see if we can get it to work for a three-digit number. Okay, the first digit right here, we've got the basic formula down already. And instead of dividing by 10, we divide by 100 because we want the hundredths digit, which we get really easily. As for that last digit, you remember what we did last time? The modulus function. And of course, it's the remainder dividing by 10. How about that middle digit? Well, let's see what we can start with here. Divide that by 10. And now we've just got the first two digits. Wait a minute. Now we want that middle digit, so we want the modulus of that divided by 10. And we get the 4. So do you see how we're doing a stepwise solution to this? This is significant skills. So that would be equals, to reverse the order, this times 100 plus this times 10 plus this. And you get your 345. So again, problem solving skills here. We're learning tricks to do things. Now, we all remember from this one, and we can just copy this right on over, subtract the bigger one from the littler one. And then we can reverse the order of the digits. Let's get in here and put in our formula for F. Notice I'm still making sure I don't put in the equal sign. And put that in here. So we're quietly building a formula. Still get the right answer. Get over here and copy this. Again, I'm copying with Control C and then I hit Escape so I don't do anything nasty to my calculation here. That's the G one. So we put that in here. We still get 345. And then finally, our little formula for the first number. It again. And we put that in here. And that's with control bit V. So now we have it giving us the should have put in this formula. See, that's why it pay attention to what you're doing on this thing. There we are, now we got it right. This is one of the powerful things about Excel, really any spreadsheet. You can just keep working it and working it and working it. keep trying until you get a formula that gives you the right answer. Then you can move your formula around. And it works every time. So do you see the problem-solving skills I've demonstrated here? Step at a time, use open space over here to do each chunk of what you want to do in a calculation or in some other thing. Having done that, put them back together again correctly, copying and pasting, and you've got your solution. And by the way, you've got a little bit of fun here, because these two really do always work. There is a mathematical proof for it. But, you know, use your problem-solving skills. Learn a few of them. And have fun having learned from this particular demonstration on the Excel.